I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge the season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
My name is Ben. You're you. You have a name. The name of this show is Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Welcome back if you're a longtime listener. And if you're listening for the first time, boy, we got a doozy for you today. This is a real weird one. If you're listening to this show, then the odds are you are much more likely than the average person to already know about something called Operation Stargate.
That movie with James Spader?
Yes.
And the guy from The Crying Game?
A movie with James Spader and the guy from The Crying Game, who I thought did a great job.
Absolutely.
In both of those films.
He's a powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
You don't see him as much anymore these days, though.
He's off counting money, I think.
It was also a long-running TV show, you guys. Come on, with like seven different iterations.
The Crying Game?
Yeah. Yes.
So somebody would watch it. It has to have the breakdown in the shower every episode. Operation Stargate, which can be confused with the TV series and a great film with James Spader, was a name that the U.S. Army employed for a secret initiative to investigate what's known as remote viewing, clairvoyance, or astral travel.
All kinds of different paranormal phenomena. Very much theremin-y.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. If we say, okay, just what if people can travel outside of their bodies, be aware of things without physically being in the location or having some device that physically transmits that information to them, just like a feed on a camera? Well, that would be great. You could see nuclear facilities from enemy countries. You could find out where different resources are hidden. Today, most of the world considers these programs to be examples of just huge financial mistakes, government boondoggles. They're held up as evidence, most of the time, of just how strange and weird and wasteful the Cold War became. There's a film that really popularized Operation Stargate for a lot of people, and that was The Men Who Stare at Goats. Did you guys ever see that one?
I did, yes.
George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. And it goes into some of the specifics, although it's, you know, it's based on the actual events.
Right, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on actual events. Mm-hmm. I always wonder if that's different. You know, sometimes you'll see something that's based on a true story, and then when it gets super wild, they have to say inspired by a true story, mm-hmm. which I always thought was a very it's a little difference that you might not notice. It's like cheese versus cheese food products.
It's sort of like mm-hmm. saying based on a short story by Stephen King.
Right, right. You know? And shout out to Stephen King. You know, if you are a student and you have an idea to turn one of his short stories into a film, he will sell the rights to you for $1.
Wow.
Just if anybody out there is putting off your next big magnum opus because you thought you couldn't afford Stephen King's the rights to his work. Well, it's go time.
So the reason why there was so much spending on this stuff during Cold War times is because if your enemy has the capability to do this and you do not, you just don't spend any money because you think it's hogwash, then you're going to be in serious trouble because your enemies are looking at your nuclear bases.
Yeah, they have a gap.
Yeah.
Right?
And so you have to bet that even though it's probably not real, it might be.
Mm-hmm. What if it is, right? In previous episodes, we had covered Stargate as well as earlier Soviet research into the paranormal, which was one of the episodes I personally liked the most, is that quest for Shambhala and mm-hmm. seeking to control Eurasia. The Nazis also had an esoteric experimentation ring that was more focused on the occult rather than psychic powers. But there's one country that gets weirdly skipped over in most of these conversations.
China. You'd think that it would be in the conversations, right? It's one of the biggest, at least the most numerous humans in the world
right,
are there.
Right.
You'd think, you know, there's a lot of money that goes into military there.
Yeah, and a lot of innovation, and they're, you know, a superpower, militarily speaking, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one would think that, of course, they would be participating in this too. And they were. For decades, the Chinese government has researched psychic and paranormal phenomena, and many of their focus areas differed from programs in the West. So what do we know about China's – let's see if I can say this right – China's psychic child warrior research?
Awesome.
It's a mouthful.
Well, first of all, we have to throw a caveat out here that none of us are fluent in Chinese in any of the forms. Mandarin or otherwise. Ben has a little bit of experience in college, but you dabbled in college?
Well, yeah, I still study Mandarin, but I think it would be ridiculous to say that, you know, we were fluent. A lot of the information about this stuff and this phenomenon comes from, you know, is printed in Chinese and still isn't translated.
Yeah. So, but we do have some translated stuff that we found mm-hmm. via the CIA, via a couple mm-hmm. Writers from the 80s, I believe. Found.
Right. And there's some interviews as well. So we did some digging. And we're going to give it the old college try. If you happen to be fluent in written Chinese, we would love to hear your thoughts on a few things that I could send you. So write to us. The Western public learned about these programs, for the most part, in January of 1985, because there was a magazine called Omni, which you may have heard of, and a journalist called Marcello Truzzi. And Truzzi wrote an essay about, quote, China's psychic savants. And he traces the rise of modern interest in psychic powers amongst Chinese children specifically. And there's an interesting story about how this occurs.
The story begins with an 11-year-old named Tang Yu. And one day, Tang Yu was walking and happened to brush against his friend's coat pocket. He then received an immediate vision of two Chinese characters, written characters, shining with stark clarity in his mind. He discovered his friend's pocket contained a cigarette pack with two such characters printed on the package. He was intrigued, understandably, and began to play a guessing game. With the swishes, with his fellow villagers. And he would ask them to write random Chinese characters on pieces of paper, crumple the paper into balls, and let him hold the wads of paper next to his ear. And then he would guess the message, and apparently with 100% accuracy. And we'll get to that a little more later.
Yeah, and that's absolutely it. So he was this is something you don't really hear about when people in the West talk about psychic powers or these sorts of abilities. You know, being able to see, I guess, through your ear, that was a focus point for him. Word spread, the Regional Science Commission asked to examine this child, and allegedly they were also convinced. And also, hang on, you know, I think we should spend a second on this. Did you guys notice this 11-year-old and his friend are smoking?
Yeah.
At 11 years old?
I didn't want to judge, but I definitely felt like, come on, guys, let's not do that.
Were they on the island of lost children?
I know, right? I don't know how old the friend is.
Right? Maybe he's 23.
Maybe he's 23. Maybe it's a big brother's, big sister's
point
thing.
Point being is kids, smoking is bad. That's Don't great. Do it whether you're 11 or 53.
And, you know, the smoking is probably not the source of the guy's claimed powers. So don't smoke for superpowers.
No.
Either. Just to be clear. Well, okay. So word spread, and the Science Commission in the region was also convinced. So the Sichuan Provincial Party Committee, it's like a local government organization, backed the results, and the story was published in a regional newspaper called the Sichuan Daily in 1979 on March 11th. And this led to more and more and more and more children across China being identified as psychics, possessing some variation of what the state officials and scientists referred to as extraordinary functions of the human body.
That's very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? EFHB?
Or
something like that.
EHF, EHB. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Extraordinary human functions. Yeah. Instead of ESP. So they have... Some say they have powers that are similar to Tang's, but not quite the same.
Yeah, talking about deciphering hidden messages from various places and with various parts of their bodies, with their fingers, the palms of their hands, their tops of their heads, their scalps, their abdomens, their feet even.
Mm-hmm.
How about an armpit? Throw something in your armpit. I can tell you exactly what's hidden inside that container.
That's not the worst, though.
No. Also the buttock.
What an inconvenient superpower.
Yeah.
Like, look, I can read secret messages, or I can read through my butt.
Yeah, I could read through my butt. Just don't sit on anything sensitive and you'll be fine.
It's a weird one, but people were claiming that. And other reports surfaced claiming the kids were capable of telepathy or X-ray vision, clairvoyance, and psychokinesis.
So the kids typically ranged from 9 to 14, with some of them actually as young as 4 and as old as 25. It was estimated by Feng Hua, a traditional Chinese physician, that there were about 2,000 such gifted kids within the Chinese population of a billion.
Which is, you know, a very, very, very small, minuscule ratio if you think about it. So they weren't claiming that, you know, 1 out of 5 or whatever children can read through their armpits or can, you know, move objects with their minds. But this became a widespread belief and people examined it. In 1980, this is when it gets national, like countrywide attention, because they're mentioned in what is thought to be one of the more prestigious journals at the time, China's Nature Journal. And we have a quote from the article in Omni that Truzy wrote, which I think sums it up pretty well.
That February, the surge of interest prompted Nature Journal to sponsor a huge conference, the first science symposium on the extraordinary function of the human body, for participants from more than 20 colleges and medical schools. The proceedings were filmed by the Shanghai Science and Education Studio, and the film called Do You Believe It? Was shown over national television to millions of Chinese people.
And once that happened, Oh, you thought those first 2,000 were it?
Mm-hmm.
No siree, Bob. Children with alleged psychic powers came out of the figurative woodwork. So this is the beginning of the modern outbreak of interest in Chinese psi, or, you know, as you say, the extraordinary human functions.
Ben, I just want to say that number that we were quoting, what, 2,000 out of 1 billion, and then an increasing number after it became more and more popularized,
yeah,
or at least known. It's really, as someone who watched and read X-Men growing up, it feels like an X-Men ratio.
And that's before, was it Decimation, when all the people lose their powers? Or M-Day, excuse me.
Spoilers? Jeez.
Oh, man. This again? All right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Guys, I just ruined the world of comics.
It's okay, man.
It's okay. I guess that maybe that's our collective power, is to spoil stories.
The spoilers.
That's probably already.
And
a
our
thing.
Catch and our rallying cry will be spoiler alert.
Yeah,
it's like, we're coming.
Right,
we're coming at you.
That's not bad at all. You know, I'm worried though. Does that make us sound more like, you know, if there were a commercial for Ziploc bags or something, would we be the bad guys? Like the spoilers?
Yeah.
You know, or Tupperware or something. I don't know. We would be like the Noid. We would be like three versions of the Noid.
Really fast, that film, Do You Believe It? I did some searching around trying to find even clips of it or anything.
Right.
And I was unsuccessful. And I think maybe it's a translation thing. I need to find the actual translation of Mandarin.
Yeah.
And not, you know, a Google version of the translation. but if you find it, any of you out there, please send it our way.
Conspiracy@howstuffworks.com. And so this interest in extraordinary human functions, or extraordinary functions of the human body, excuse me, this comes out here in like the 80s. And before we go further into the modern outbreak of interest in Chinese psi, or extraordinary functions, we have to look at some of the context. So Operation Stargate, remote viewing, it tended to, at least as we know, concentrate almost exclusively on that. And what we have to say, as far as we know, because we only know what was declassified, and some of the people who think the program really worked are claiming that Uncle Sam still is holding back the the stuff that worked. The Chinese programs took a wider, more varied approach, and at least some part of the pursuit was widely publicized. There was a TV show. That's like if Operation Stargate was occurring and they had a television show called wait a second.
Oh my God.
The thing is, though, this modern version is rooted in something much, much older, because research in the Middle Kingdom in this area of energy, right, intangible energy and extraordinary functions, dates back to ancient times, long before the existence of the People's Republic of China, long before the USA or what we recognize as many European countries. Chinese scholars and holy figures researched the concept of qi. So what is qi?
We've discussed qi before on this show. Well, you may think of it as energy, which is the way most people do, I think, some kind of life force. It's the thing. I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
It's midichlorians.
Oh.
Good old George Lucas. Yeah, he ripped that off from this Eastern idea of qi.
The no punch knockout.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. Because we've seen qi tested on different shows, right? Television shows. Darren Brown, I think, is one of the people who test qi. James Randi, the world famous skeptic, has had people testing qi. And while those examples we just named usually end up with them saying, nah, it might just be the power of suggestion, people do believe it. And we have seen neurological changes, like genuine mind over matter, in people who meditate in certain ways over time. It's not like 8 minutes, but, you know, 8 years.
Yes, exactly. Or longer.
Or longer, yeah. So if we look at it in this ancient context, then it seems pretty understandable that someone would tie culturally the idea of modern psychic powers or extraordinary human abilities to the pre-existing ideas of a person's energy, which is capable of extraordinary feats, right?
Yeah, and it goes back to mythology. It goes back to medicine. It goes way, way, way back.
Yeah, some of the earlier dates could be traced back as far as 400 BCE in a book called The Yellow Emperor's Classic on Internal Medicine. So the idea of using qi to produce some sort of otherwise supernatural or extraordinary effect didn't seem quite as implausible to some folks. And Matt, as you mentioned, we have a video on qi. So check that out if you'd like more info. In our defense, I think that's one of our older ones.
It's a little older. It's not too crazy old. Okay. It ends up coming – that topic comes up a lot in various other wider things that we discuss.
Right, right. We see it here in fiction, even in the modern day, right? The mm-hmm. one thing that's coming out as we record this, I believe pretty soon, Netflix is releasing another Marvel show called Iron Fist.
Yes.
Which is controversial for some other reasons. The important part for it in this conversation is that he's basically a qi superhero, right?
It's kind of cool.
You know, and that's not a spoiler, is it?
Is it a spoiler that he's white?
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe that's the other controversial part.
Right, right. But, you know, qi, it's around. That's what we're saying. It's a thing.
It is. And since we're talking about our YouTube channel, let's quickly jump in here, guys. We've been making videos for a long time, way before we began this podcast. And we switched it over to our YouTube channel a while ago, 2012, I think. And we have not put anything out in several months.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because we've been working on the Guidestones video mm-hmm. as a longer piece. And that is really where we've been focusing all of our attention. When I say we, I mean us. But unfortunately, I'm taking a lot longer than I should be on it.
Well, and let's not forget that it takes time and effort to produce this podcast every week. And we've been putting a lot into that as well. And, you know, we all wear a lot of hats, like we say. But look for some cool longer form deep dive videos instead of the usual, 3.5, 5, 6 minute videos. Mm-hmm. We're going to really give you some stuff to chew on.
But those are coming back, the chewy ones, the less chewy, the snackable,
the bite size,
the bite size, the Halloween, yeah. The fun size.
They're like the Dunkaroos video.
We just really want to finish this big one.
Yes, yeah, we absolutely do. But thanks to everyone who asked. We are alive. No one has forced us to, like, no one. I don't know about you guys. No one showed up in my life in a dark suit and told me to stop.
I just get phone calls where there's just someone breathing on the other end.
Still?
Mm-hmm. I think it might be me calling myself from the future.
Whoa.
And in a very weird way, huh?
Well, hey, guys. I don't know if this is a good time or not, but should we take a commercial break?
I mean, we've gone totally off the rails. As good a time as any.
We'll be back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us. We're back in the game here. So we said there's this vast and storied and beautiful cultural underpinning of interest and belief in this concept, but there's also often in this part of the world a very, very controlling government. Some Qi-related practices were banned under the tenets of the Cultural Revolution. During the Marxist takeover in 1949, authorities put a clamp on belief in the supernatural, and they had some pretty cross things to say about it.
Yeah, the official critics thought parapsychology was superstitious, mystical nonsense, labeling it religion without the cross. Oof.
It's a rough one. They even accused the U.S. and the USSR, Soviet Union, of vigorously promoting psychic phenomenon to distract citizens from essentially the world's real problems.
Jeez.
So, as we know, propaganda got kind of weird in the Cold War era, but it's even weirder today, you could argue.
It's harder to even detect today, I think.
Right. So when did this change, this attitude of the government hating any exploration of the supernatural?
All of this finally changed in 1980, right around the time that psychic abilities were given a little more credence, got some more attention, when the Beijing Review wrote that, quote, so long as these activities do not affect the political and productive activities of the collective – the government will not prevent them by administrative means.
So essentially they're saying, look, if you don't mess with what we consider the real stuff, we're not going to make it illegal.
Yeah.
And, in many cases, we'll get to the modern cases here too. So they didn't say we're definitely going to help you at first. We just made it not illegal. And so Chinese journals would continue to publish papers on Qigong or other you know, psychic related phenomenon, they often did so without government support, you know, just sort of this implicit, do as you will. But don't ask us for money. despite this occasional lack of institutional support, the studies produced results that initially impressed American scientists and frightened some other members of American institutions.
Yeah, in 1981, a report came out by the Committee for the Study of Exceptional Human Functions on experiments with children. And this inspired U.S. scientists to visit China at the time. And they looked at children, a big group of children that were aged 7 to 12, all of whom had alleged psychic abilities, which is kind of cool. They got to study them.
And see some demonstrations or figure out ways to improve the testing would be one of the main approaches. And then there were experiments relating acupuncture and ESP at the Institute of High-Level Physics in Beijing. And they demonstrated that acupressure points, you know, where you stick the needle.
Yeah, sure.
Have you guys ever done acupuncture?
It was done on my ear at our office, actually.
Ooh, what was it like?
Felt like someone put a needle in my ear. And it supposedly was supposed to make my back feel better. And I swear to you, my back started feeling better. And I guarantee you it was my brain making it happen.
Maybe that's how it works, though.
Yeah.
The needle makes your brain.
I think that's all you need.
Makes it happen. Psychosomatic, addict, insane.
Yes. So, I mean, that is an interesting argument. And Josh and Chuck have Josh and Chuck over at Stuff You Should Know have a good episode on how acupuncture works. Mm-hmm. Which can, you know, it's a controversial thing for a lot of people. Did you do it as a demonstration for a video or?
No. We had a health and wellness thing back when Discovery owned our website. Mm-hmm. And they had some people come out. You guys don't remember this?
I do.
Okay.
I did not opt for the acupuncture, though. That stuff freaks me out.
I think I just went for the free stuff. They had like bags of goodies.
Yeah. I got you. It was a good day in March. I think I got a back rub, too, for free. Pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often at work.
But you are persuaded somehow you did notice a difference.
Yes. I created a difference, I believe.
At this Institute of High-Level Physics in Beijing, what they demonstrated was that acupressure points show a lower skin resistance to electricity and a high conductivity to electricity during periods of increased psychic activity. That's a quote, because that last part is a little, little dodgy. What is increased psychic activity? Does that just mean you're thinking diligently?
Yeah.
You know, what part of your brain are you using? What is the specific mechanism?
Is it a chakra thing? I mean, we got to get into this. I don't know.
We should do an episode on chakras. I'd like to interview someone who is well-versed in that. These abilities were not just limited to, you know, reading through the armpit or moving stuff with the mind. There are specific examples that kept popping up over and over.
Yes, another power was to influence the mind of someone else, either to, like, let's say focus on some decision maker, someone at the top of either a company or a government, maybe a foreign diplomat, and you could focus on them, and through some kind of telepathic or subconscious means, you could make them do what you wanted.
Yeah. Like, imagine for a comparison, if you had brothers and sisters and you were all little kids and your parents told you that you could not go to – what's something fun that children do?
They go to Disney.
Sledding.
Oh, yeah.
You could not go sledding at Disneyland. Yeah. And so you get your siblings together and go, well, you know what? Talking – it's gone past talking. We're going to take it to the next level. And you go to the room next to wherever your parents are sitting. You sit in a circle, hold hands. You focus your chi on the decision, and then later – mom and dad or whomever come out and they go, guys, we're going to go sledding. Disneyland, Disney World. Going to Wally World. That's something that, as the rumors go, the government was actually encouraging it as a test. And in that regard, this is where it got past the point of interesting experiments with kids and got to the point of the U.S. government starting to keep an eye on it. But there were other things that were not quite as disturbing, you know, like the harnessing of chi energy to accelerate healing and plant growth, which always reminds me of that R.E.M. song. There's some line in R.E.M. song. It's like, I'm keeping flowers in full bloom. Michael Stipe.
Yeah.
All right.
Noel would know this.
It's the one from the Andy Kaufman movie.
Man on the Moon?
Yeah, but it's not that one. It's like, I'm pushing an elephant up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, that's it. Good save. You're an encyclopedia.
I don't know. Maybe it's not. Yeah, it's I'm bending spoons. I'm breaking through. I'm bending spoons. I'm keeping flowers in full bloom. I'm looking for answers from the great beyond.
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry, there we go. No, this is just so satisfying to, you know, when you have something in the cusp of your mind like that. Yeah, so that reminds me of REM. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but people honestly have claimed that they can use the same energy to read without their eyes and to, you know, practice clairvoyance. They can also accelerate healing and they can make plants grow faster. Another one that was really big was the ability to, under certain circumstances, break through physical barriers.
So this is really cool. It feels like something that could be tested pretty easily, and it apparently was tested. The CIA has documents that show how it was tested. They're even screenshots. Well, they're not screenshots. They're photos of, or at least rough looking photos of 35 millimeter canisters of film. Are you guys, is anyone out there familiar with these? They're usually gray or black.
Yeah.
They're cylinders.
Yeah.
And they've got a top that goes on them, and then film would go inside these things.
And depending on what age you grew up in, what age of technology you grew up in, these were used to take film and take shots and transport it, or to like hide drugs.
Yes, that was a huge thing. But the main thing was to protect things because they're dark and the film wouldn't get exposed.
Right,
so anyway,
right.
They would put random things into these 35 millimeter canisters and then put them in a box in a room that was separated from the person they were testing. And they would have that person use their abilities to pull objects out or put objects into that canister that was separated. And apparently, according to this, it was shown over and over and over and over to work. They did it with some glass jars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this thing from the CIA.gov website. That's literally where I am right now looking at this. And there are tables here that are showing how many times it got correct, the dates of the experiment in 1983, November the 16th. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy because it shows that the documentation was taken seriously at high levels, you know, and the spatial barrier thing, it's very specific. Okay. So the people are moving relatively small objects. Like the largest stuff would be maybe a film canister again that we know of, but here's where we start to see a divide, which may depend upon your personal perspective. So you could argue that these experiments are set up in this way because there's some kind of easy cheat that's happening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some way for an object to appear to be outside of the thing when it's already in there in a trick of perspective.
Or one of the people coming in saying, this is the only way I can do this. You
right.
know, one of the persons that they're testing.
Exactly. But then on the other side, you could make the argument, which is a pretty valid argument, that for something to be reproducible, for something to be conducted with any manner of rigor, it does have to be specific and everybody has to do it the same way. So everything is the same except for the one effect we are trying to find. So you can see why this would already be something that people go back and forth about. And here's the big question. So we see, did it work?
Yeah.
Did it actually, you know, is there this cadre of children who are far, far grown, right? Older than us now. Is there this cadre of, I guess, former child psychic stars who right now are capable of doing things like this? Is there someone in the next studio sitting in a circle influencing our podcast?
Do you want me to go check?
I don't know.
Well, they're certainly not doing us any favors, guys. My kid, I'm being self-deprecating.
Oh.
But no, I mean, the journalist wasn't persuaded, right? I mean, he and his whole team noted that until the experiments could actually be reproduced in the West, that it would be given a low evidential weight.
Which is a nice way of saying, I want to be polite, but – you know,
there's no evidence for this.
Well, it's a bit of a call of shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah. In a very polite way, just say, I'm not convinced. The author went to China and saw several of these kids and said, all right, well, it seems like there are different opportunities where these kids could cheat the system. You know what I mean? And then also keep in mind, these are kids. You know, how long are you going to expect a 6 or 7 year old to sit still and do the same weird thing over and over and over again and remain focused? I mean, it's tricky, you know?
Now, one thing we haven't mentioned in all this is Eleven from Stranger Things.
Oh, that's true.
And the experiments that she was subjected to. That's what I picture if you're dealing with a kid. Mm-hmm. Kids throw temper tantrums, and eventually you poke them enough, they're going to throw a table at you with their mind.
Yeah, who knows what happens.
Okay, so I'm really interested in how much how much of these psychic powers that these kids are purported to have, how does that match up with street art that was really big at the time, is still really big in places in China and places in the U.S., where you're going to set let's say you manipulate a newspaper that has some chemicals wrapped up inside of it, and then you put it on the ground and you use your chi to set it on fire, except what you're actually doing are combining chemicals that are in there, which is a thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, or like a parlor trick.
Right, or like mediums and spiritualists in the 18th and 19th centuries who would generate ectoplasm.
Yeah.
Things like that, right?
Yeah, move a table. I mean,
We're not saying all of this is fake. We're saying that there are possibilities. There are ways that it could be faked unless it had really, really methodical testing.
Yeah, and it would – I can imagine being a kid especially and being excited to be a part of an experiment like that, even if I wasn't actually, you know, showing off psychic powers.
So – the person who wrote the article that brought this to the West wasn't persuaded, right? Members of the Chinese government weren't always persuaded. People went back and forth on whether this was nonsense or not. But let's dive in to what Uncle Sam thought after a word from our sponsor.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The U.S. government actually appeared to think all of this psychic children business was legit. There are numerous documents under Freedom of Information Act that you can obtain showing that Uncle Sam, in fact, had an eye on these programs. And as far as they could tell, the very minimum, factions of the Chinese government and numerous scientists believe that this was a real and measurable phenomenon. We've got some examples here.
Yeah. So like even at their most skeptical, they said, well, the other guys believe this. They were like, guys, the Chinese government believes this. Do we need to get some kids? Do we need to grow some 11s just in case? And yeah, specific examples. As you said, Noel, the CIA has reports on a fellow named Shang Baoxing, who was born in 1958, and he was one of the most famous Qigong grandmasters during something called the Qigong Fever in China. And the Qigong Fever was also known as the Qigong Boom, was a social phenomenon in China during the 80s and 90s. And that's where practicing Qigong became extraordinarily popular, like groups and groups of people. A lot of people would get together and practice in step with one another, right? And the popularity of this reached almost 200 million and founded this other subculture. So this guy was pretty famous already. People thought that he could, check this out, read with his nose, see through people's bodies, and like Matt said earlier, place objects in closed containers without touching them. And you can read reports wherein the CIA is asking, is this like China's psychic warrior? Have they taken these practices into adulthood? Is it possible that certain Qigong techniques could give almost anyone, any Joe Schmo, these powers? I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, reading with your eyes closed through your nose, that doesn't sound – I mean, that's like how easy is it to peek, right? But
– well, yeah, and what strategic advantage does that offer?
Right.
Ever.
Right. Like, no one's going to come in and say, America needs you, son. We need someone who can read with their butt. You know what I mean? Which I know I keep harping on that, but the idea that you could sense information without your eyes that way is fascinating. Putting things in closed containers without touching them, that's a little different, right?
Yeah.
And while these sound like small, subtle things, think about it. If you wanted a spy or an assassin that used telekinesis, right? No weapons, no traceable, no traceable thing to the target except like how close they had to be. Mm-hmm. You don't need somebody who throws a bus. You don't need somebody who collapses a school. You need someone who has just enough force to close a windpipe. That's it. Or to stop a heartbeat.
Yeah. Or even, you know, getting a small amount of poison into a closed container, like a closed soda or a closed, you know.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Just boop, yeah. It's in there now.
I didn't even think about that. That's a very good point.
Maybe some San Pellegrino. I don't know.
Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
Don't mess with my Pelly.
That's what Noel calls it, the Pelly. Then on a lighter note, for an example of someone who is pulling the Michael Stipe and using their powers to affect plants, a study published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine and was also seen in the U.S. National Library of Medicine examines the case of someone named Chunlin Sun, who apparently is able to accelerate the germination of seeds using her chi. So she'll take like a seed and then it will – something that would have taken, you know, hours and hours just happens in like 20 minutes.
That's incredible.
Well, it's – you know, it's incredible if we – I know the stereotype of Americans is we always want bigger and better stuff, right? Isn't Dennis Leary the guy who said this is the only country that would invent crack rock? The only people who are walking around going, you know, cocaine is great, but I don't know. Need something a little more pep. So like with that, I'll be the stereotypical American here. I would love to see, you know, an acorn or something that turns into a tree. I'd like to see someone touch one of those and then sprout a tree.
Well, imagine if you could take Chunlin Sun and hook her up to some kind of vertical farming operation where she channels her chi throughout the entire system. Whoa.
I think we just made a really cool sci-fi idea.
I'm talking about saving humanity.
Oh, I was
like feeding everybody.
I was talking about making a sci-fi story.
Yeah, you know, that's cool.
I respect you. So we have to point out though that the CIA, it's not like the CIA is right all the time. No one's right all the time. They've made some missteps, and for many of the folks in our audience who are consider themselves a little more skeptical, right, then you might say, well, the CIA also hired Uri Geller. Uri Geller, famous mentalist in person alleged to have psychic powers, clairvoyance, the ability to bend spoons. He's one of the most well-known people for this practice. He is also, for a long time, a personal and bitter enemy of the arch-skeptic James Randi.
Yep.
So Uri Geller actually convinced the CIA that he had extraordinary abilities. And this came out pretty recently. In January of 2017, a set of declassified documents show that after a week of experiments it conducted on Geller – in 1973, as part of Stargate, they thought, you know what? There's something to this guy. They did not ask him to stare down goats during this period, but his handlers concluded this. And I have the quotation here. As a result of Geller's success in this experimental period, we consider that he has demonstrated his paranormal perceptual ability in a convincing and unambiguous manner.
Wow.
And of course, now the official stance of the U.S. government is that that stuff did not work. So now we are in the modern age. What happened to all these Chinese programs? We know research continued and may continue in several universities, and factions of the government have gone back and forth on whether or not these exercises should be considered nonsense, a waste of money, or interesting research to conduct for research's sake. We don't know too much. It can be difficult to separate at times rumors. So we looked at the stuff we know actually happened, as controversial as it was. And I got to ask you guys, what does this sound like? Does this sound like a real thing, or does this sound like maybe an outbreak of hysteria, a bunch of kids being excited to be part of something bigger?
To me, it sounds like the mythology, ancient mythology in China. There are numerous, I mean, I can't give you a ton of examples, but there's one named person named Kang Gangzi, Gangzi. I don't know how to say it correctly. Gangzi, maybe. He was a mystic that could see and hear without using his eyes or his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one example. There are a lot of examples of parapsychological things that are occurring throughout their history.
In like legend form.
Yes.
And we have to remember the history of China dates back into legend.
Yeah.
You know? And so I appreciate you saying that. That's a good point. I really like to think of it this way, that the idea of people having psychic powers is presented in the movies. Has it been conclusively proven? Nope. Or at least not so far as we know. But does that mean it's impossible? Absolutely not. You know, it would be arrogant to think that we know everything. There was one journalist who makes a great point where they say, you know, we can't forget that as late as, you know, the 18th century or so, people said there were no way meteorites could come from space.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the world we live in. We were constantly trying to at least be a little bit less in the dark.
Just a tiny bit.
And we don't always get it right. But what do you think, Noel?
You know, I certainly don't believe it is beyond the realm of possibilities that there are individuals with abilities like these. As far as government-sanctioned harnessing of these abilities and sort of rounding up of specimens, individuals, children specifically, that exhibit these kinds of powers, it really does feel like something out of a graphic novel to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I know that, you know, there have been cases where law enforcement agencies have employed psychics in, you know, desperate situations to use, you know, remote viewing techniques to find a body or, you know, find a suspect that's on the run or something like that. So, you know, it's very hard to say. I am, as usual, a little skeptical, but I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, no.
So we're all like cautiously optimistic, huh? That this could be something real.
There's that video. I'm trying to find the video again. I was watching it yesterday while I was looking at some of this stuff. It's a man who was interviewed by British documentarians who allegedly claimed to be able to create an electrical current in his body and in the lower part of his body. Mm-hmm. And these documentarians, at least to their satisfaction, he was able to demonstrate it.
And so they tested it.
They tested it in multiple places. They did it while he was almost completely naked. But at the same time, this same guy showed off that he had he could do pyrokinesis.
Uh-huh.
And it was the same exact thing I was talking about earlier where
– it's mixing chemicals.
I think he's mixing chemicals.
So, yeah. But the fact of the matter is there are – extraordinary human abilities, right?
Yes.
And you might be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, what you find when you start digging into the capabilities of certain practitioners of meditative arts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it than just, you know, sitting and humming. But we want to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you think about Not just this Chinese program or this phenomenon, but let us know what you think about, as Noel said, the interaction between governments and civilians when they're seeking, I guess like the Outer Limits would say, one step beyond, I might be quoting the wrong show.
It sounds good.
But, you know, when the government gets all theremin, right?
Yeah.
Should this research be pursued? Is it a waste of money? Is there something they don't want you to know?
So if you guys have anything that you think they don't want you or us or anyone to know, hit us up on Facebook. We are Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on Facebook. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. We're trying to do a little bit more diligent work of keeping that thing updated with some spooky pics here and there. And we hope that you check it out. Submit pictures to us, and maybe we'll screenshot them and put them up there.
Oh, that's great.
See anything pertaining to anything interesting, we can always just take a screenshot and put it up there. We just kind of want to keep images. It's hard, like, you know, we don't encounter the paranormal and unusual in our day-to-day, so it's hard to know what to put up there sometimes. But help us out. Conspiracy Stuff Show.
And you can check out every audio podcast we've ever done by visiting our website. Hey, Ben, Noel, Matt, you might be saying, I've got this great idea, but I'm not too into the social medias, maybe because of an episode you heard from us earlier. If so, we completely get it. You can write to us directly. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.